Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. The pumpkins are coming to northern Mississippi. Is it still the, what's the name of the facility, the amphitheater down in South Haven?
It is the...
It's still Bank Plus.
Yeah, Bank Plus.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's Stone and Grove, right?
Yeah.
Stone Grove, yeah.
Bank Plus Amphitheater,
yeah. Yeah, I think the Smashing Pumpkins are coming there in, I want to say September. Welcome back. Hour three of the program. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you on this Monday, April 15th, 2024. Did you do your taxes? You getting a check back? You having to pay the government? It's also Jackie Robinson Day. Yes. Every player in Major League Baseball today, as all teams are scheduled to play, will be wearing number 42 in honor of the great Jackie Robinson. It's also Patriots Day in Boston with the Boston Marathon taking place. We are in the Family Leisure Studios, Family Leisure, where family and fun come together, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. And again, if you're looking for flooring and carpeting, Jenkins Floors & More in Hernando, Mississippi, also Little Rock in Cleveland, Mississippi, have what you are looking for with SPC and WPC vinyls, which are scratch-resistant, waterproof, ceramic and porcelain tiles, hardwoods by Portercraft, carpeting from Southern Luxury Carpet, and so much more. Just give Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins a call. They will come to you. You'll get a free estimate. They'll show you samples wherever you are in the area. Call them at 662-469-9350 or just stop by and see them at their showroom in Hernando, open Monday through Saturday. It's Jenkins Floors and More. Congratulations to John Morant, inducted into the Murray State Hall of Fame on Saturday.
Good for him.
That's what you call a no-brainer, an absolute no-brainer. All right, so we were talking about the Masters, Scotty's win, but also Tiger. And Tiger Woods, the first part, the first 36 holes, dealing with those wins, like you said, which were the worst on Friday, making the cut, and then going on to play 72 holes. There's something to say about that for a guy who's in constant pain. But he just, you know, when he said that if all things went right, I can win another one. No, Tiger, you can't win another one. You're not immortal.
I mean, I don't know how much pain he is in on a daily basis. I'm sure there's a lot and all that stuff. I just don't like seeing Tiger out there shooting 82 at the Masters. I've maintained all along. I thought he just wanted to get this record, and I don't think we're going to see much of Tiger going forward at all. In tournaments, I think he really wanted to get that cuts record. He got that. He just looked like Saturday. Like he's just looks like an 85-year-old man trying to walk around out there. It's uncomfortable to watch. For him to finish last, obviously among the players that made the cut, it's like makes me uncomfortable.
Well, I hated to hear people, and I'm talking about golf people, like praise him when he shot 77 yesterday. Like, hey, Tiger, that's good. You know, you shot 77, much better than Saturday when you shot. Shut up, man. It's Tiger Woods. I don't care if he's got one leg. Tiger Woods out there shooting 82. No, that does not compute. Danger Will Robinson, that does not compute. Shooting 77. Does not compute. I know the conditions were tough. But guess who finished ahead of him? Jose Maria Olazabal. Vijay Singh. Vijay Singh is not even as competitive anymore on the Champions Tour. Olazabal doesn't even play it, like once in a blue moon. Now, they aren't coming off those devastating injuries that Tiger has come off of, and he's very inactive, and I'm not sure how much those guys go out and hit the ball around in practice. I'm sure Singh does. Because he is golf, right? I mean, that guy, his work ethic. But Tiger's work ethic when he was healthy was at the top as well. I I hear what you're saying. You're probably right. But I think Tiger will continue for a long time to play at the Masters. And he's going to start missing cuts. And it's going to be, he's going to be a shell of himself. But that has happened to everybody. Nicholas won at 46, but then, you know, he continued to play and play into his golden years because you get the lifetime invite and you're not making cuts, and it is what it is. You just, you hate to see that from your heroes. You hate to see that from the greats in any sport, but it happened. How many times do I bring up baseball, watching the guys I grew up with as a kid, and then watching them labor late in their careers to stay in the game for that one more year? Football as well. You know, remembering the years when Joe Namath was playing for the Rams or Johnny Unitas was with the Chargers, for goodness sakes, and on and on. You'd like to go out on top, and he certainly has the coin to do so, to basically say, that's it, I'm done. And you've already said you don't believe he'll make any appearances in the Champions Tour. I still think that that's on the table, that he'll play in the majors on the Champions Tour and try to, you know, he wasn't able to beat Jack as far as overall majors. And on the Champions Tour, is it Bernhard Langer that owns the record for majors? But he may get that competitive juice flowing again where he wants to win the most majors on the Champions Tour. I don't know. But what is he going to do the rest of his life? Is he just going to sit around and drink Mai Tais?
He's going to watch Charlie play golf.
And that's it? Just be a spectator that watches his
son? He's just not physically capable of doing it. Like, I don't think he's going to play at the Masters very many times because he can't walk the golf course. Like, he isn't physically capable of doing
it. Yeah, but he just proved that he could do it. In bad conditions.
Barely. Like, did you see him Saturday?
I did.
Like, he barely made it around.
He looked the same Thursday with that face. You know, I guess that's his game face.
He can't even bend over to get his ball out of the cup, hardly.
I understand. I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying you won't be right, but I could still see him turning 50, playing in the five. What do they have, five majors on the Champions Tour? Or is that five that the women have? One has five of them. I think it might be the Champions Tour. And I can see him playing in just the majors. And then playing in the majors on the PGA Tour that he's qualified for, which one is the Masters.
If on the Champions Tour they'll give him a cart, maybe he will. I don't know. I don't know why. I still don't think he will. But, he's just not physically capable of doing it.
Is he qualified for all the regular tour majors because of the win at the Masters? How's that work?
I don't remember what the I'm not sure what the exemptions are.
A couple have to be running out, right? The only one that has a lifetime is the Masters, correct? The Open Championship's not a lifetime, right? Although Daly ends up there every year.
I think the British Open is.
It might be.
Is lifetime, if I'm not mistaken.
So maybe U.S. Open PGA. I mean, it's got to run out eventually.
But I don't. I don't know for sure. I would guess he could, like the PGA especially, I'm sure he would get a special exemption every year because he's Tiger Woods. The U.S. Open might be different. Again, I don't know, and I don't remember what qualifications he gets in off of on that. But, I don't think he's going to play much the rest of this year. I just don't think he's capable to do it physically. I think something you just got to listen to your body. Like, it's just it is what it is. I mean, he can still hit a golf ball and he hits it a long way. And his short game on Friday was incredible, which is amazing with the fact that he hasn't played that much to be able to be that good with your short game going out there
right. In
those conditions. But yeah, it's like sad watching him limp around the golf course and shoot an 82. The fifth hole owns him out there. It's so bizarre. He cannot play the fifth hole at Augusta. Like, it just doesn't make sense that there's a hole that Tiger Woods is throwing. Like, he just, like, it absolutely owns him. I don't know, but it's...
Well, it's crazy how that happens even to the best of them. It happens to all of us that are just Sunday hackers or whatever the case may be, that you go to a particular course and there's a few holes that you go, I just hate these holes. They don't line up for my shot. It doesn't make any sense. And you end up putting up that same bad score every single time. And there are some holes that you love. I mean, you may play them very well one day, may struggle another day, but it's not going to be consistently bad because you like that hole. It fits your shape, the way you shape your shot. The greens, maybe just you see it better. You see the lines better. But it's interesting to see somebody like that who has conquered everything you can conquer in the game and then struggle with that one hole. It's a nemesis. I'm sure it's between the ears, too. Every time he goes up the tee off at that hole, I hate this hole.
Ron texts in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Says, I'm starting to think McIlroy won't ever win the green jacket.
He's not going to.
He was not even in contention.
He's not going to. I don't see it.
Again, with the young players that are coming up, and you know the guys like Scheffler and others, certainly it's getting harder and harder. You think now he's been in contention many times, hasn't been able to get it done. The thing that's crazy about Rory this week is that he just didn't take advantage of the par fives at all, other than number eight, which he did birdie three of the four rounds. The other three par fives, he only birdied 15 once. He never birdied 13. He played 13 at one over for the week, and he played number two at even par. And with his distance and the way he can drive the ball, like the par fives basically should be par fours for him.
It's his approach shots.
It's crazy to think that he could go out there and shoot those and not be able to birdie the par fives every single day. He should be making eagles. I don't know. He had the stretch where he was in the top 10 there like every year, but never could get over the top. Now, he had missed the cut two of the previous 3 years coming into this, but he was second in the other year when he did make the cut. I don't know. He's still extremely talented, no doubt about it. But yeah, you start wondering if it's ever going to happen for him. And if you're betting right now, you would have to say he's probably not going to win one.
I don't think so. There's too many really good young players that you're waiting for them to break through. Like a Xander Schauffele, and he hasn't won a major, right?
No.
Schauffele, yeah, a guy like that who's got all the talent in the world. But I see like a guy like Zalatoris, if his injury, what was it, a back? Back issues? If he can stay healthy, and backs are tricky, I think Zalatoris is going to win some majors. Certainly, I think Hovland's going to win some majors. Morikawa, he was in the battle. He said he got greedy in his post-game interview, that he was trying to, instead of, like you said, Scotty would put it to the right side of the green, not flirt with the water. Colin was flirting with the water because he was going for that knockout shot. But I still think a guy who's already won several majors can win again. Scotty's 27 years of age. He ain't going anywhere. 27 years of age. And there's others. Like this Oberg guy is really good. I could see him winning majors. I don't think this was a fluke thing. I think Tommy Fleetwood will eventually break through. There's a lot of really, really good golfers, even with the split with LIV and PGA. And, of course, you get those LIV guys coming back for these majors. But I still think that it's going to be really, really tough for Rory to win a green jacket. I don't think it'll happen. By the way, Keegan Bradley said something. I wanted to get your opinion on it. Not that we've played Augusta National, but we know the holes pretty well. He said that the approach shot, your second shot at 11, is the hardest shot in golf.
Oh, number 11 is it's a ridiculous hole when you think about it. It's a 520-yard par four. Like, that's just silly to
me. With the whole lake on the left side.
Yeah, with water protecting the green. It's ridiculous. I can't imagine playing a 520-yard par four with water protecting the green. But yeah, you just have to do what those guys do. The green, Homa did it. They just aim, and Homa, you could hear they're basically aiming at the 12th green. So we're aiming at the 12th green. You try and hit a draw. You aim right of the green, try and hit a draw, If it does draw and catches a piece of the green, great. If not, you end up down there right. And these guys were so good with their short game, you try and get up and down. Like, and that's like, you know, Morikawa at that point, he kind of had to go for it because he had made the double bogey on nine. So if you want to win, you pretty much have to. You got to do something there. But yeah, I mean, it's just that shot. I can't imagine hitting that golf shot. Like, it's especially because it's also in that area where it's hard to figure out the wind. Like, so you're trying to figure out the wind. You're gonna have even for those guys, it's a long second shot. And you can't be left at all, like short left. So, yeah, that is it's just an absolutely ridiculous golf shot.
All right, shifting gears. We talked a lot in hour one about the Grizzlies season coming to an end. Their exit interviews begin at 10 o'clock today with Zach Kleiman first up to talk about their future, their off season as well. And then, of course, we talked about the matchups in the postseason as the play-in games will begin on Tuesday. But also, the women take center stage tonight. It's the WNBA draft, where Caitlin Clark is expected to be the number one overall pick by Indiana. She made an appearance on Saturday Night Live. Do you watch SNL?
I do not.
Did you see the clip of her?
I did not.
She was great. She did a really good job.
It's funny to me that, again, obviously she's going to be the number one pick, and everybody knows that, but it's like, whoever Diana Taurasi plays for, like, they're doing like a special ticket promotion for the Taurasi versus Caitlin Clark matchup. Like, they're like, teams are already doing promotions of like when Indiana comes to town and like promoting it as Taurasi versus Caitlin Clark. She hasn't even been drafted yet, but there are literally promotions of you can buy the tickets for the Caitlin versus Diana game. Yet she's not even officially in the league yet. Wow. It's so strange. Like, but I mean, because like in the NBA, like we've had many drafts where you know who the number one overall pick is going to be, but like you don't, like teams aren't doing promotions. Like the Grizzlies aren't doing promotions about Wembanyama coming to town last year before the draft even
right.
hits. Like right. at least show the courtesy of, hey, like let's let them draft the guy first and then we'll do things. But this, like, they're just, it's blatant. Like, you know, and Indiana's got like all of their games on national television.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Like, they've got, it's amazing. Like, it's just, again, everybody knows you can be number one pick, but it's just funny to see all of the promotions and everything around the Fever before the pick actually officially happens.
They don't have local packages, right? The WNBA?
I don't think so. I have
no idea. So imagine national TV games, all her games or most of those games will be on TV.
Like all of her, they said every one of the games, I can't remember how many are actually on TV, but every one of their games is available at worst on streaming.
I want to see what the attendance is and how many of them will be sellouts on games when Indiana, again, the assumption, I think it's a good assumption, she's drafted by Indiana.
Like, would it be if Indiana tonight like drafted somebody else? Like,
oh, gosh. The general manager would be fired. The president or whoever's in the ops department, right, the scouts, they'd all be fired. But whenever they play on the road at whatever team it is, and I'm not sure how Phoenix draws normally or New York draws, and I don't think any of them are sold out for the season, but how many more tickets will be sold for that particular game when she's in town to play their team than what would normally be? I can't wait to see those numbers. How she's going to help out an entire league, every individual franchise, for when she shows up to play. And, of course, big time with Indiana. Whatever Indiana averaged last year attendance-wise, how that's going to skyrocket this year. So the draft will be, again, tonight. Yeah, but she did a great job on Saturday Night Live on Saturday. And then, speaking of TV, I have to bring this up. Did you watch the Billy Joel concert last night on TV?
I did not.
It was on CBS. I'm watching. I guess we're getting close to the end. It started at a weird time because the Masters in the 60 Minutes, and then they played this other stupid show that was right after the 60 Minutes instead of going to the Billy Joel concert. And then he's doing Piano Man, they're in the middle of Piano Man, and boom, the chick comes up on Channel 3 to do the news. Like, what just happened? Wait, what just happened here? My buddies are in Jersey, they're like, No, this was later when they texted me, because at first I had to react right away, you know me. And I was like, Channel 3, did they just pull the plug on Billy Joel? And then Sadie got back to me later and he said, no, it was across the board from CBS. So my buddy who was watching it texted me and said, yeah, they just pulled the cord on the with this WCAU TV in Philadelphia. I go, no, supposedly it was around the nation. Now, I think it was just the central and the eastern time zones. What the hell is that? They've been promoting that thing for three months.
Oh, gosh. I'm just glad it's over because I'm tired of seeing the promos for it, which I don't like. The promos, they say a once-in-a-lifetime event. Well, it's literally his 100th. It's literally his 100th show there. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess the 100th will only happen once in a lifetime, but literally it's 100 concerts he's done there, and I'm going to guess they're all pretty much the same. So to tell me it's a once-in-a-lifetime event, no, it's like a once-every-month event, basically. Yeah. Like, yes. That's what it is.
Probably actually more.
Unless you have a really short lifetime, like it is, you're going to see another one.
Yeah, the guy had a residency there in Madison Square Garden. But, yeah, I mean, and of course, it's on television. You're going to have commercial breaks, so they edit it. The thing wasn't live, so a lot of the songs that they did, they couldn't play within the two-hour time frame. But they cut out. They cut it's in the middle of a song. I don't know if there was going to be more songs after that. I don't know how it works with a television concert that's already edited. But they cut out of the thing, and I was pissed, and I was not the only one. I'll tell you what will not make you mad. In fact, it'll put a smile on your face every time you go there. That is Corky's. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue. They've been serving up delicious slow-smoke barbecue for nearly 40 years, and they've been catering that same time period. So if you have an event you got coming up, graduation party this spring, got a birthday party, family reunion, whatever the case may be, sporting event you want it catered, Corky's can do that for you. Just get in contact with them. Get in touch with Corky's. They're located at Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, and Goodman Road in Olive Branch. They have lunch specials every single day. Party packs that start at just $7.49 for that delicious barbecue. Great ribs. Love the barbecue nachos. And I always go with that cheese and sausage plate as an appetizer. They have wings and catfish. In fact, they got an award-winning catfish plate. Hamburgers and tamales. Amazing desserts. Spaghetti. They even have spaghetti at Corky's Ribs and Barbecue. Reserve their private party room at either the Cordova or the Olive Branch locations for an event you got coming up. It's Corky's, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:27 is the time. Rolling right along on a Monday edition of Sports 56 Mornings.
We were talking about Tiger and, of course, a little... It's kind of sad to watch him. It was cool to see him go over and shake Vern Lundquist's hand.
Oh, that was great.
After playing 16. Vern, I thought they did a great job all weekend of, you know, kind of honoring Vern and then the final kind of goodbye from him, everything else. It was well done. And it will be weird hearing a different voice next year on number 16. Like, he just became so synonymous with that golf hole that, like, it will be a little shocking when next year there's somebody else calling the action on number 16.
Yeah. Do you have any idea who's going to fill those shoes?
I don't know. I have no idea who they'll put in that tower. I mean, to me, the chip in for Tiger, whatever that was, 05, I believe that was when he chipped in, and that call from Vern is maybe the greatest golf highlight there is. Like, mm-hmm. I will never ever get tired of watching that highlight and listening to Vern's call of that. It's as good a golf highlight. Because the way the ball hung on the lip, everything else about it, like, it is truly like you can't get a better golf highlight than that. No. And his call was amazing.
Well, it's one of the most memorable calls of any sport, of any era. He did a good job. I thought he was really good. I mean, I know he's not as sharp as he used to be, and time had run out with football, and it made sense when he was done calling football. But for golf, you know, it's still pretty – I don't care if you're 85, 86 years old. It's such a different call when you're broadcasting golf. It just makes sense to have Uncle Vern out there. And I did love that moment with Tiger. I mean, Tiger had a rough weekend.
It was so weird because, like, it was like with Vern just hanging out behind the tree there. Like, you didn't even know. Like, it was funny that, like, he was just kind of trying to be real inconspicuous there, like, behind a tree. And then Tiger kind of, like, spots him and goes over and just it shakes a hidden man's hand. It was kind of a weird thing. But yeah, that was cool. First for Vern even to be out there kind of to watch it, and then for Tiger to go acknowledge him was cool.
Did you see the meme from the picture of there's a tree and there's a hand, an arm sticking out, and it's Vern's arm, and it's Tiger Woods shaking. And so the Stanford tree is now going on social media saying that's my arm. So as we talked about today is the Boston Marathon. It is Patriots Day in New England. It's Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. It's Tax Day for all you folks out there as well. I have a personal stake in what's happening in Boston because my lovely daughter-in-law, who I've talked about before on the show, who's a fantastic runner, Dory Sellers-Gaston, is running in the Boston Marathon. And right now she is about to start the marathon. She's at the starting line. We're going to try to connect with her in Boston. It's going to be a little loud. Dory, can you hear us?
I can hear you. I just started the start line.
So you just began the Boston Marathon.
I did. I just started.
What is it like for you?
It's really, really cool. It's like nothing I've ever done before.
So what is your game plan? What are you going to do? Are you going to be able to run the whole thing? Are you going to walk some? What's the game plan?
I'm going to hopefully run the whole thing, but I've gotten lots of tips from different people. It's downhill pretty much the first 16 miles. Everyone's told me that the halfway point of the race is around mile 17 when the Heartbreak Hill starts. So I'm going to take it easy until about 17 and then try to see what I can push through after that.
And how many marathons is this for you now?
It's either 12 or 13.
That's amazing. First of all, is this like for a marathon runner? Is the Boston Marathon like the bucket list marathon?
Yeah, so yesterday I was able to go and listen to a talk that Mage was there. And it was really cool. What he said was, he said the Boston Marathon is like the Olympics for the average runner. He wow. said it's a great experience, and I kind of agree with that.
So we'll a couple of more moments with Dory, who is actually running, just started the Boston Marathon live here on Sports 56 Mornings. So how many people are they guesstimating will be running today in the marathon?
I think there's like 30,000.
Man. So are you just like, do you have any room to run? Is there people all around you?
I mean, yeah, they're all around me. I mean, it's a huge, let's see if we can snap a picture and take it and send it to you of all the people in front of me.
And I'm sure thousands of people lined up down the streets and wherever anybody's running to support you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So we had to get bused in from the city because the actual marathon just ends in Boston. It starts in Hopkinton. And to the start line.
We're losing a little bit, Dory.
So, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're just losing you for a second. Yep, we can hear you. So, okay. Real quick, what is your goal? Do you have a time you've set for today?
No, because I want to just take this one in. I'm going to stop and take pictures. And, you know, the kids, the St. Jude cheer station is at around mile 13 and a half. So I'll probably stop and say hi to them. Greg and the kids will be there. So I'm just going to take it all in.
Well, everybody is proud of you. Go out there. Enjoy your day today. I'll talk to you when you get back and make the city proud. Thanks, Dory.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That is Dori Sellers Gaston, my daughter-in-law, who's running in the Boston Marathon. And for those who don't know her story, she's a local dentist, but she's battled breast cancer and is running marathons. Just an amazing woman. About as tough a person you'll ever meet.
Like the whatever 2 minutes that we just had her on, that would be the limit. Like I'd pass out now. Like I'd be, all right, I'm done. Like I can't run any further. Like I don't have anything else in me. But at least I could say it still boggles my mind. People running marathons.
Me
just,
too.
I cannot comprehend running 26 miles.
Now, I don't know if I could walk 20. I'm not going to sit here and say I can walk 26 miles, but I can walk a long way because I have the stamina. I get shin splints. I can't run. So when I go on the, at the gym, you know, I'll walk, but I'll walk with the incline. I can't run. Once I run, my hamstrings are tight and I get the shin splints. And so, no, when I had to run for football or soccer or things like that when I was young, I mean, it just killed me every single time. And I know people say, change your shoes, get big. Yeah, I've done all that stuff. Believe me, it is very hard for me. So runners, I am so impressed with runners. I am so impressed with marathoners, with triathletes, those extreme triathletes or whatever they do. It boggles the mind that a human being can do that.
I mean, like when I trained and did like a 5K, like I thought I had done something. Like, and for me, it was like I thought I was going to die halfway through a 5K. Like I was ready to fall out. Like again, I get just the idea of running 26 miles. Like I don't care if you gave me 10 years to train. There's just no way I can run 26 miles.
Was it the Elvis 5K that you're talking about? Was that the one you ran?
No, I did the. Well, I did do the Elvis 5K.
Yeah, I did too.
That was before I actually walked that. I didn't do that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I did the only 5K I've ever participated in was the Elvis one, and I started to run, and I swear I think I got like two blocks and I go, I'm walking. I ended up walking most of the thing, and it ended up being like, is this, what is it? If it's 5K, it's. What is it, like two?
It's like 3.1 miles.
Oh, okay, 3.1 miles. It was like the longest 3 miles of my life. I go, my God. And these dudes are running 26.2 miles?
Because like when I did the whole thing and I raised the money for the charity with the 5K and I did it was the Firecracker 5K that I did. I mean, get like at about the 2 mile mark, like I felt like my lungs were collapsing. Like I thought I was done. I thought but they might have to call an ambulance to come get me. And I was like 2 miles into it. And I trained a lot for that. Like I really like dedicated myself to training for that. And it still darn near killed me to run a 5K. I don't know. Like I, God bless that. Like, and for her with what she's been through and everything. Like, I mean, that is, that just, again,
and then you
God bless all of those people. That is an amazing, amazing thing that they are able to do and to be able to, you know, 12, 13 of them. And like she's like, I don't know, it's 12 or 13. Like, I'm telling you right now, if I did run marathons, I would know the exact number of how many I ran. Like, is it my body would tell you, like, no, this is exactly how many we've done, how many times you've darn near tried to kill me.
I mean, there's people that run double marathons. Like, you run 26.2, take a quick break, go 26.2 again. Then the triathlete.
Oh, the triathlon.
Where you swim, you bike.
The triathlon, those people cannot be humans. You can't be human and do a triathlon. You can't. No, that you're. The human body is not, should not be capable of doing a triathlon.
I once did the triathlon, and it was pretty good because I did it in an hour. I had the cheesesteak, the cheeseburger, and a slice of pizza, and it was a great accomplishment.
Like there's not one leg of the triathlon that I could do.
I can't swim, number one. The only one I would have a chance
like
at
I, the swimming would
is
be
biking.
I think the swimming would be my best chance, but I don't think like I could do it. Like I'm just not in good enough shape to do that. Like the idea of doing all of them in a row.
Right.
It's like, man, and choosing to do it. Like the idea that somebody just like you know what? I want to do this. Why would you want to do that? Like, I just, that just doesn't seem to make sense to me. There are way better things to choose to do than that.
Well, I could choose to stand there, drink a beer, and clap for them, or I could try to do it. No, I think, and I wouldn't come close with this either, but it would be cycling as long as the seat. My butt hurts every time I get on one of those bicycles. Man, it starts to hurt. Like, if it was some kind of cushion seat, I might be able to do that, but that's probably about it.
Well, again, I am not that type of person that can run a marathon, but if you are a marathon runner, or if you don't have to be a marathon runner, if you want to run the 5Ks and other races, or just run casually on your own, or maybe it's not even running, maybe it's walking. You want to make sure you do get the right shoes for you to avoid injuries and problems when you're out there running. And you can go to Fleet Feet to do that. Two locations they've got for you: Laurelwood Shopping Center in East Memphis, out in Collierville, Poplar, Newston, Levy, next to Huey's. You can go into either one of the two stores. They take a look at the way you run, the way you walk, and they'll fit you with shoes that are just right for you. And then, of course, if you want advice about getting started with running or training for a race, they're all runners. These are those people in there, they're like marathon runners and things like that. They'll be able to help you and give you that advice. They've got group runs and things that they do that you can get involved with. If you go to fleetfeetmemphis.com or follow them on social media, they'll keep you up to date with things they've got going on. Of course, they sponsor a lot of races around town as well. But for your shoes, for all your gear that you need, go see the folks at Fleet Feet, either one of their two locations.
And I'm reminded by a friend, let's give a shout out to all those great pictures you see at the Masters, all those great moments at the Masters. Of course, the director of the Masters on CBS, the great Sellers Shy from Memphis, who does an unbelievable job. So thank you for that reminder, and thank you for all you do, Sellers Shy. We'll take a quick timeout, come back with our final segment. We've got a little baseball news to get into, some basketball news as well. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Early Monday morning to Friday.
But he just did a commercial for Fleet Feet, one of our great sponsors. And during the break, got a text from our good friend, Greg Hollenbeck, reminding everybody that the Gina Hollenbeck run will be coming up on May 18th, 2024, which will benefit those with Baptist and the Cancer Center. We lost Gina to cancer, just a great woman, and they have this run to raise money. It's $30 to register, so go online and register today and run in the 5K, or in Eli's case, you know, drive your car. Whatever the case may be.
I can walk a 5K today.
I could go out and walk a 5K right now. Yeah, I think I'm. Now, are you two-fisted when you're walking, or just get the one beer?
No, I don't drink during the race. You got to drink after the race, certainly, but I think I've done a total of 4 or 5 Ks.
Have you?
Five Ks. But they're only the one that I...
It's like four more than me.
There was only one that I ran the entire time. That was that first one that I trained for. I've done the Elvis 5K, and I've done the Harbortown 5K twice, I believe. I think that's it. I think though.
Did you have Rocky music when you were training?
I think I did.
Did you go to Russia?
I think I did the Firecracker 5K a second time too. I think I might have done two. I think maybe I've had five. I think I've done Firecracker twice, Harbortown twice, and Elvis once. That's my. And I'm a retired 5K runner. I hung up my running shoes.
Are you going to go into the track and field Hall of Fame?
See, I like, unlike Tiger, like I understood
cross country.
Like my body was telling me. We're not physically capable of doing this, so you need to quit. Like Tiger needs to understand that. Like the body sometimes is right. Like it will speak quite clearly to you. My lungs would scream at me like, you're not physically capable of doing this. And so I decided, you know what? I'll listen to my lungs.
Yeah, it's important. Listen to your lungs, listen to your heart, listen to your brain, more importantly. We were talking earlier about the Memphis Tigers basketball team and recruiting for Penny Hardaway, using the portal to his advantage, as obviously he had a depleted roster, so he has to fill it. And one of those names is Colby Rogers, according to reports, who is a prolific three-point shooter for Wichita State, has committed to Memphis for the 2024-25 season. Jason Munns has a story out where he spoke to Colby Rogers and said that P.J. Haggerty, who also committed to Memphis from Tulsa, had a hand in Memphis landing Rogers. He reached out to me, and he wanted me to play with him, Rogers told the Commercial Appeal, which is a great feeling. Another great player wants to play with me. That makes things easier. Of course, we had P.J. Haggerty on the radio show, and he said he was reaching out to players. So obviously one of those guys he reached out to was Colby Rogers. So now you look at the Memphis roster. P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, three newcomers. Jared Harris is the lone high school player coming in, who had signed in November of 23. That's four. Nick Jerdane, again, has verbalized that he's coming back. That would be five. We still don't know about David Jones. And then you assume the walk-ons, Joe Cooper, Noah Stansbury. But Penny had two other players that were in town over the weekend. There's one, Bugs, that'll be coming in later on this week. There's another that we brought up earlier. There was a report of a story of a player from, what was it, Sam Houston, that's in there as well, that's looking at Memphis. Memphis has reached out to him. That's the kid who's from actually Collierville High School. So things really heating up for Memphis as Penny tries to put together this roster and seemingly do it earlier, where there's not guys still debating in August whether or not they want to play. You could start getting these guys together once they've finished their obligations, wherever they're coming from, to get them to Memphis and have a great summer together where they can learn to bond, which is extremely important.
In portal news, apparently DJ Wagner has entered the portal.
Next stop, Arkansas.
Yeah, we'll see if he goes with Cal or if he goes somewhere else. But he is apparently in the portal. I would imagine pretty much the entire Kentucky roster will be gone.
Well,
all said and done.
Aren't you fired up for the Mark Pope era? Did you see the presser?
I did not watch the presser, no.
Fans went gaga, though, in his introduction, coming off the bus with all these former Kentucky players.
People will generally gather and like to listen to the Pope talk.
They like the Pope. They like the Pope. The white smoke came up, and it was Mark Pope from BYU. So, I don't know. I mean, I know there's excitement. And Rick Pitino, the St. John's coach, who was his coach at Kentucky when they won the national championship, talked about how great this guy is, how good a coach he is, but a leader and all that. So,
Tino's also trying to get a home and home.
He'll probably get one.
He threw that out there. He wants a home and home with them.
He'll probably get one. And again, you try to sell the fan base on this move. And I don't know if Barnhart spoke or not. I just hope he didn't say, yes, he was our only choice because, you know, he's lying through his teeth. But maybe it works out with the former player. Just because he's not the biggest name in the world doesn't mean he can't get players, because he is coaching at Kentucky, and that they can have success. Speaking of basketball from the NBA, former Grizzly great Grayson Allen, 4-year, $70 million extension from the Suns.
He's a hell of a shooter, and shooters get paid. So good for Grayson.
I like Grayson when he was here. I thought it was a loss losing the guy. I mean, he's been really good for Phoenix. That's a lot of money. They got to be in the tax, right? Phoenix?
Yes.
Who's it? Matt Ishbia? I don't think he cares about paying that tax. Folks, you want to get charged up for the summer? It is All-Star Chevrolet, All-Star Chevy season in Olive Branch. Test drive one of these new EV Blazers. It's still Chevy truck season, as I mentioned, so you're going to get deals on all the variety, from the new Silverado to the beautiful Equinox and Trailblazers. Check this out. The Silverado's financing down to 2.9 for 72 months. You're going to make thousands in the cash and trade, right? So you're going to get a lot of money for your old vehicle and for that trade-in to go to this new vehicle, whether it be a Silverado, maybe the Equinox, maybe the Trailblazer, with 1.9% financing. And no payments for 90 days, so 3 months without having to lay down your cold, hard cash. for the new vehicle you'll be driving in. If you want pre-owned, well, just about everything you want is there. And if it's not there, ask Kevin or Jeff. They'll find it for you. But Ram trucks, Jeeps, Tahoes, Suburbans, Traverses with that third row seating. Military, teachers, college students, healthcare workers, you get an extra $500 bonus for being as good as you guys are, for doing what you do for all of us. So where are you going for your trips this summer? What are you going to be driving in? Remember, it's not South Haven, not Mount Moriah, not Bartlett or Collierville. It has to be Olive Branch. So get on out to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch today or go to allstarautogroup.com.
The Suns are over the second tax apron. They're one of five teams. I mean, they're but he obviously wants to, and again, that's why they will, regardless of what happens here, in all likelihood, they're going to run it back. It would be very hard for them to do much with their roster.
So do they have the list of the other teams?
Yeah, it's them, the Warriors, the Celtics, the Bucks, or the Clippers.
So not the Lakers?
Lakers are not second apron, no. I don't know. Because the Lakers, outs after LeBron and Anthony, they don't have the third really high-paid guy like these other teams do.
Okay. Is Memphis in the first apron?
Not right now. They're below it. But with a first-round draft pick, they'll be right there. That's why, I mean, they're going to have to do some stuff. I'm not exactly sure exactly where they are, but they're with a first-round draft pick salary with where they're going to be picking. That's going to – it's going to put them really close, if not into the first apron, based on what they currently have.
Is that with Kennard?
Yes, that would be with Kennard.
Okay, so if they trade Kennard or do something with Kennard and don't have that salary, then they'll be fine, correct?
Yeah, but with Kennard, if you're trading him because they are where they are salary-wise, they're going to have to take salary back.
Okay.
All right, well, I mean, they could trade him to a team under the cap if some team is under the cap and wants Kennard. The problem is, like, Kennard, it's probably going to be a contender that would want Luke Kennard for one season. And so they're probably not going to be under tax. Now, some teams, I guess there could be some team that just wants an expiring deal. But more likely, Kennard, it would be a contender, and most of the contenders are not under the cap where they could take on salary.
Major League Baseball news over the weekend. Spencer Strider out for the season. We talked about his injury last week, but we had not known the end result. The UCL right elbow, who have surgery, gone for the year. Braves still expected to be one of the top, if not the top teams in the National League. But when you have the Dodgers and you have the Padres and you have other teams with a lot of star power, Philadelphia being one of them, that's a big loss for them.
Huge loss. The three letters you never want to hear from for a pitcher is UCL, and so yeah, that's a massive loss. Again, they do have depth in the starting pitching rotation, but I mean, you're talking about one of the best pitchers in the game, so that's obviously a massive loss for them.
Lawn Solutions is a locally owned weed control fertilization company that serves the greater Memphis area. You can contact them at 901-867-5626 or go online to lawnsolutionsinc.net. It's a family-owned and operated company. Call Brandon Holly. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings. They're not a lawn mowing service. They take care of your lawn. They treat your lawn. They do it all year long. They control the germination of weeds. So if you're using them, then they've been there in the winter months. And right now, while spring is being sprung, those weeds aren't sprung. They are nowhere in sight. But if you haven't used them, you have the weeds, they can kill those weeds for you as well. It's a lot easier to prevent the weeds from popping up than it is to kill them, but they can do that. They can take care of any disease your lawn has or any insect infestation. Give them a call. The best in the area. It's Lawn Solutions. LawnSolutionsInc.net is the website. Find out more about them or call them at 901-867-5626. So again, tonight, the WNBA draft and a big night for Caitlin Clark, who brought some of her teammates, by the way, onto the Saturday Night Live set for their show Saturday with Ryan Gosling as host. I'm sure that was a kick for them to do that. But tonight she'll be in the spotlight. And the NBA postseason will begin tomorrow. The Grizzlies will start their exit interviews in just a few moments. I'll be curious to hear what they have to say about the offseason, especially Zach Kleiman. We'll have more on that tomorrow on the program. Jeff Crane will join us from the University of Memphis. We'll talk golf with Mickey Barker tomorrow. Humdinger's Trivia as well. Catch us beginning at 7 a.m. Our thanks today to Dory Sellers-Gaston for joining us from the Boston Marathon. Wello and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and Zach Boyd, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great Monday, everybody.